Well, folks, it gives me enormous pleasure to welcome Mark Tate to come and join us this morning from the Grove community. Mark, everybody.
Morning,
Mark.
Guys. Great to be with you.
And we're going to start with just a little bit of an interview with Mark, and then Mark's going to be sharing from our gospel. So, Mark, some folks have heard a little bit of your story, but about 7 years ago, you and your family started to get this sense that God was calling you to go and plant a Christian community on Gurnall Grove, just up the road from us. And five and a half years ago, you guys moved onto that estate. You left everything that you guys were doing down in Northfield, and you moved onto the estate to be salt and light, to be a Christian presence in that community. Tell us a bit about what's happened since that momentous moment.
Sure. I mean, it's been a roller coaster ride the last 5.5 years, including the pandemic. Who would have thought that would have happened? So seeing kind of a church community form in that time has definitely had its ups and its downs and its challenges, but it's been a wonderful journey, and just some of the things that have happened over the last few years. We started a kids club where we could get kids to come into our after school kids club. It's been really fun. A community cafe, a community lunch. We started something called Bingo Church, which has been great fun, where we actually did this Friday night, a couple of days ago.
Tell me about that. There are two fat ladies at your bingo
Wobble
church.
Wobble.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, we still do two fat ladies, 88, wobble wobble. But Bingo Church, let me just tell you what Bingo Church is, because everyone always asks us, what on earth is that about?
Is it about a church and playing bingo?
I mean, that is it.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
That is it. We play bingo, we have lots of fun. There's some silly games, people can win some fun prizes. And in the middle, we do a short talk, a testimony maybe of what Jesus has been doing in our life, a couple more games of bingo, and then the opportunity for prayer. And there's always time to pray with people, which has been a real blessing. But Easter Sunday this year, we launched our Sunday services. So we meet in our community centre every Sunday, 5 till 6pm, where we do all the things that you guys do here, either on this screen or in your building. So yeah, it's been a wonderful journey. Lots Amazing. More to do.
And Mark, I know, like having chatted to you over the time you've been doing this, that God has done, I mean, just countless incredible things. And people on the estate have got to know you. Some folks have come to know the Lord. And some people have just come to see the church and Jesus's people as the place to turn to in need. Mm. And we were talking before the service. Just could you share that story of the family who'd been back to Afghanistan to see their relatives and what happened next?
Yeah, and I think just before I share that story, what's been really, I guess, obvious for us is about this being a family and a group of Christians being present in proximity to that estate, and how it takes time. Mm. It takes time, right? And I got a phone call last August from this someone from the estate, an Afghan family you know fairly well. And I was at church, actually, so I couldn't answer the phone, but I left a voicemail saying, hey, could you please call us? And when you get a message like that, you think, oh, something's going on. Usually something's going on in the estate, and I think, oh no, what's happening? But I ring him back, and he says, hey, we're in Afghanistan and the Taliban have taken over. My dad worked for the Northern Alliance, which opposed the Taliban, and my sister works in equal rights, women's equal rights. So we're in hiding. Can you help get us out? Just thinking, no. to be really honest, in my head, I was thinking, wow, this is so far out of our jurisdiction. I have nowhere to know where to begin, really. But I said, look, I could do what I can do, but I believe in a God that can change things. So is it all right if we pray? And you know, they're a Muslim family, they're used to prayer, and they were like, go for it. So I just prayed that God would be able to move. Anyway, I started to email a few people, and I got in contact with this ex-Marine group called Allied Extract. And they were extracting people out of Afghanistan. And so we started to come up with this plan that would get this family out of Afghanistan. And the Taliban were changing the rules of when people could leave and where they could leave. And it was very, very hostile place. And so the Allied Extract group were trying to go in at the right moment. But I was quite keen. And the family were obviously very keen to get out as soon as possible. And because they're British citizens, they've been calling the Home Office and trying to get help from the Home Office. And in the end, I called the Home Office, and there was just this God moment within 30 seconds of ringing. I got through to someone, and within 2 minutes of chatting and explaining this family situation, our connection to them, they had agreed to fly them out of Afghanistan. Wow. And yeah, it was amazing. It blew my mind how easy it was in the end. That phone call to the Home Office, I'd never seen anything like it. And yeah, it was amazing that God could move and get that family out of Afghanistan. Oh, it was amazing.
Incredible. Thank you, Mark. And do you know what, folks? I know that's just the tip of the iceberg of what God has been doing up on Gurnell, working through these guys. And as we get to know Mark and the Grove team over the years ahead, as we support them and hopefully get involved, you're going to hear more and more of those stories. Mark's going to be back with us in a moment to share God's word. And then we're going to get him back for our virtual coffee time. And Mark's going to share some of the opportunities that you've got coming up that we could get involved in if you fancy volunteering. But I'm going to let Mark go and grab a seat. And Susie's going to come and read God's word to us this morning.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, and it's verses 1 to 12. When he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the words to them. Then some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him into Jesus before the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes who were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up, take your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of God has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go home.' And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Awesome. Thanks so much for reading that so well, Susie. Yeah, I'm so excited, like I said, to be with you and share. This is one of my favourite passages in the Bible. We're just going to open it up. But recently, I set myself the target, the mission of running in the Ealing Half Marathon. Anyone here going to be running in the Ealing Half Marathon? I see Susie has got her hand up. Woo! Great.
And the mini mile.
And the mini mile. Okay, great stuff. I've done it a couple of times, but it's been a while. I'm feeling quite nervous. But I wonder what your missions are, the missions that you have at the moment. What goals are you trying to achieve? You see, when we get really passionate about our goals, about things that we want to achieve, sometimes we can go to extreme lengths to carry them out, right? Time and energy and cost to reach and fulfill our goals. And we probably have different goals and missions all going on at the same time in our life. Maybe we're working at a certain project or deadline at school or at work. Maybe you're just on a mission simply to get through this morning. Maybe your mission is to get what you can done at school through your education. Maybe you're training for the Ealing Half Marathon like Susie or I. Maybe you're on a mission to share your faith with a friend or relative. Well, I imagine lots of us who are gathered here in this way have a unified mission, and that is the mission of following Jesus. And I just want to open up this story where we see four lads who are on a mission to find Jesus. And their mission is simple. It's really easy. They want to get their friend. Let's call their friend Jimmy. I like to try and give people names in the Bible just to try and picture it. And so they want to get their friend Jimmy, who's paralyzed, to Jesus so that Jesus can heal him. Now, picture the scene with me, if you will. The four lads are hanging out. Maybe they're playing, I don't know, a bit of PlayStation or whatever they're doing. And suddenly they hear news that something is going on. Maybe they're getting some notifications on Facebook or Instagram. Maybe they might have TikTok or Snapchat. And notifications are going off. Something is happening in their local town. And there's this man called Jesus who's healing things, doing amazing things. And so they think, hey, well, we've got our friend Jimmy who could do with some healing. Why don't we go and take Jimmy to Jesus? Because there's a chance that Jesus could heal Jimmy. And so they make a plan and they get together. They get the equipment that they need and they take Jimmy all the way to this house in the town. But when they get to the house, we know the story, don't we? What happens? The house is too full. There's no room in. And so they need to make a decision. Are they going to give up? They tried, but the house is full. Maybe they could come back later. Maybe come and see Jesus, catch Jesus on the way out, on the way home. But they don't wait for a convenient time. They don't come back later. They want to see Jesus and they want to see him now. So what do? They decide to take Jimmy up onto the roof and cut a hole in the ceiling and lower him down to Jesus. And that was their mission. They've reached their mission to finally get their friend Jimmy to the feet of Jesus. And let's give the lads a round of applause. Well done, lads. They've done it. Just a few points I want to draw out of this story of what happens when we meet Jesus. And the first is this. Meeting Jesus is life-changing. See, Jimmy, the paralyzed man, came to Jesus paralyzed. But when he left healed. He left changed. He left cured. And so meeting Jesus brought restoration and healing to Jimmy's life. And the truth is, when you meet Jesus, your life will change. If you come to him open with faith, your life will change and you will not be the same again. And we see story after story in the Gospels of different encounters with Jesus, with their lives being changed. And sometimes it's part of our lives that might change instantly or dramatically, like Jimmy. But for a lot of us, we change over time. And we continue to be changed and restored by him. It's an ongoing thing, isn't it? I wonder if Jesus has ever helped you overcome a fear or given you peace in a situation or even healed you physically. Well, the point is, wherever we meet Jesus, whenever we encounter him, he changes us. Something about us change. I want to very, very quickly tell you about the story of Paula. Paula is a mum on our estate. She's lived there, I don't know, 13, 14 years now. And she started to get involved in some of the work that we're doing. She volunteered at first and she became part of our kids team that helped at the after school kids club. She started coming along to Bingo Church and hearing about this Jesus. And then a couple of years ago, or a few years ago now, she became a Christian. She gave her life to Jesus and life started to change. And at the beginning of last year, she actually joined our team. And now Paula, who's been on this estate for many years, is serving and being a leader amongst the people that she is part of, the community is a part of. It's been great to see how God and meeting Jesus has changed Paula's life. The second point is this. Meeting Jesus, he likes to bring us to the heart of the matter. The paralyzed man wanted Jesus to heal him physically. He was paralyzed. He couldn't move, right? But before Jesus heals Jimmy physically, he wanted to go deeper. He wanted to go to spirit, to a spiritual depth. And so the first thing that Jesus does is he cleanses Jimmy's heart and he says, Jimmy, your sins are forgiven. Of course, physical healing is so important. That would have had a massive impact on Jimmy's life. But what good is a healthy body if we have a broken heart? And that's one thing that Jesus does. He forgives our sins and makes an amazing way for us to be reconciled with God. Third point is this. Meeting Jesus is costly. It cost those four lads to carry Jimmy to Jesus, costing their time. It cost them their energy, hard work, the sweaty work in the dusty roads, carrying him all that way. It might have cost them their reputation, fear of losing their reputation. Who are these guys? What are they doing? Who do you think you are? And now they're opening up someone's roof. Could have been really, really embarrassing. It probably cost them their finances as well. They probably had to repair that poor person's roof. The third point is this. Meeting Jesus is going to cost you your time, your money, sacrifice, reputation and energy to follow him. But it's an amazing adventure. And finally, the last point I want to make is that meeting Jesus takes faith. Sometimes persistent, gutsy faith, just like those four lads. They kept on going, carrying Jimmy, making their way through the crowds, getting onto the roof, digging a hole and lowering him down. They overcame barriers and had gutsy faith. They were determined to complete their mission. And one of the things that I found really surprising in this verse that I've missed so many times. In verse 5 it says, it's because of the men's faith that Jimmy is healed. Not even because of the faith of the paralyzed man, but Jesus somehow uses their faith to bring healing to the paralyzed man. And three of the Gospel, the Synoptic Gospels all agree and all have this line about the faith of the men which was commended and led Jesus to heal this man. I mean, this should be such a huge encouragement to us as we think about who our friends and families that we want to bring so that they can meet this amazing Jesus and who he is and how he changes lives and brings transformation. In this story, we can see that people sometimes on their own can't bring themselves to Jesus and they need good friends who will make up that time, give up that energy to bring them to Jesus. I leave you with this. I wonder if you're on, there's my timer going off. I wonder if you're on a mission at the moment, and I wonder if you could recalibrate your life to think about, who are these people in my life that I want to bring to Jesus because of the amazing transformation that can come from meeting him? Amen. I wonder if I could just pray for us as we've been thinking about Jimmy and his friends and meeting Jesus. Yes, Father, we thank you for the gift of faith that we are used by you in your kingdom and that everyone gets to play in your kingdom. Everyone gets to be used in your kingdom. And Father, I just pray now as we just reflect and pause that you might put someone on our heart, on our mind that we might be able to pray for and share a bit of our faith with them. I thank you that you use us as we are, and I pray for your spirit to anoint us to be the best that we can be and be encouraged to share the good news of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark, for all that you have shared. And we're going to continue